Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Hey everyone, I have a couple quick announcements. First of all, make sure that you are part of the Abundance Formula Community Facebook group. This is a place where you will be able to download workbooks, worksheets, free guides, all kinds of really amazing stuff that I'm creating to go along with each and every episode of the Abundance Formula podcast. These things are meant to help you take the lessons you learn in each episode and really apply them to your own life to create abundance for yourself in whatever area of life each episode is focused on. So make sure you're part of that group and make sure that you're following the new Abundance Formula official Instagram page to have exclusive lives that are happening there as well. And so just make sure you're part of both of those groups so that you don't miss anything that the podcast has to offer to create abundance for your life and to connect you with other like-minded people that are looking to do the same thing. So it's a great place to network, great place to connect and get support and to take things to the next level. Last announcement is that we have a few more online personal training openings if you're interested in that, where you get customized workouts for yourself each month for your needs and goals, customized cardio plan, customized nutrition plan. All these are constantly updated each month as far as nutrition goes, depending on how your body responds. People are loving this. So make sure that you jump in. If you're interested, send us a message at oldhamstrong@gmail.com. You can check out the online personal training program at www.oldhamstrong.com/online training. And of course, at oldhamstrong.com, you can check out all the different things that we offer. But online training specifically has some limited availability. So let's dive into this week's Share Your Wins Wednesday. Again, this is a feature that is part of the Abundance Formula Community Facebook group, and it's a post that I make every Wednesday where you can share in the comments your wins for the week in whatever area of life. We celebrate each other, and I select several people to shout out on each podcast each week. And at the end of each month, I select a lucky winner randomly for a Starbucks gift card. So let's get into this week's Share Your Wins Wednesday. Okay, so this week's Share Your Wins Wednesday features. First is Tara Little. She says, my win for this week is twofold. First, these two 6 a.m. workouts we're doing. I don't love the idea when my alarm is going off, but my days are so much better when I do the early workouts. Second, I cannot tell you how badly I wanted to grab quick takeout for dinner yesterday, but I had grilled chicken and salad stuff, so I came home, whipped that up super quick, and felt much more proud than I would have otherwise. Yes, way to go, Tara. Then Rain Elizabeth Stickney says, when first healing conversation currently being edited to for release on Friday morning at 12:17 a.m. Eastern Time on my podcast, Every Moment is Sacred. That's the name of her podcast. This episode features our podcasting sister, Carla Olson, who is launching her show From Her to Her today. Many mic drop moments in our recorded conversation from Carla's heart to ours, like once transformation becomes evidence of its own possibility, you can get through any obstacle. She's amazing, and I'm so happy to share her wisdom and experience with us, with you all and the world. Awesome. Congrats, Rain, on your podcast, and we can't wait to check out the episode. Next is Vanjie Ruth. She says, stayed on point with food and workouts this week, made serious progress on my passion projects, and stuck to my bedtime plan halfway through the week and winning. Yay, Vanjie. Way to go. So proud of you. That's the wins we're going to celebrate for this week. Now let's dive into the bio for our amazing guest today. Today's guest is Shawn Hill. She is a certified practitioner and master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. Also timeline therapy, coaching, and hypnotherapy. She's an expert at helping people change their mindset to change their lives. Her deep knowledge base on Program the Unconscious Mind,
focus, changing beliefs, and embracing failure is taken to a whole new level in her book to be released February 1st, 2023, called Activate Your RAS, The Art and Science of Creating Your Reality from the Inside Out. We talk so much about this book and all the content in this book. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to buy it. She really gives you guys so many inside tips just in this episode. It's really awesome. So can't wait for you to hear that. She's also the host of the epic podcast, Vibrant Mind, Vibrant Life. I was on her podcast and it was so much fun to be interviewed by her. She asked amazing, insightful questions. So I knew she was going to be a great guest today. So not only are you going to love the content of our conversation, but she has the best amazing UK accent to listen to as well. So let's dive in with Sean. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Abundance Formula Podcast. I am so excited today to have Cianne Hill. Is that how you say it?
Sean.
Oh, that's really pretty. Cool. Even better than how I said it. So yeah. We're so grateful to have her here today. She actually lives in the UK. Y'all are going to love her accent. It's just so soothing and wonderful to hear. It just sounds wise to start with. And she has so much wisdom, you guys. So thank you for being here. I can't wait for everyone to get to know you.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, everybody gets my name wrong. So I'm Cianne, Cianne. It's a Welsh name. So even okay. People in England get it wrong.
Oh, that's funny. So say it one more time, just so I can hear it one more time.
Sean. So if you think like S, if you were to say it, spell it, it would probably sound like S-H-A-R-N-E would
more. Sean, like Sean?
Yeah.
Sean. Okay. Yeah. Just make sure I say it right for the intro and everything. Sean. Okay. Great. Well, so tell everybody your backstory. How have you arrived at where you are today? I love starting with that because then people can just really get to know like a little bit of what's behind why you're doing what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey on this path really started in about, I think it's about 2010. Growing up, I'd always wanted to be an actress, but I put that dream on the back burner as I got older because I didn't believe it was possible. I remember going to a careers meeting in school and the careers advisor said, "What do you want to be when you're older?" I said, "I want to be an actress." And she said, "That's lovely. Now, what do you really want to do? Because that's not a proper career." And at the time, I remember feeling a bit relieved because it was, oh, I didn't actually think I could be. So now I don't have to be. She kind of let me off the hook. And I went to college and studied sports and had various jobs growing up, but I'd never really let go of that dream. So I was about 25, I think, something like that. And my mum gave me a book. She gave me The Secret. She said, "Look, Sean, you can create your own reality. If you start thinking differently, things will happen and your life will change," which made total sense to me because when I looked at my life and where I was, I could see how the thoughts and the actions and things that I'd taken up to that point had led me to that position. So I was like, right, this is amazing. And I started doing everything that I could read about creating your own reality. So I was meditating, visualizing, doing vision boards. And after about 6 months of doing that and checking every day to see if there was a car on the drive that had landed and a check had arrived in the mail, not a lot had changed. And I was really frustrated and I felt like probably an even bigger failure than before because it's like, right, I can't even create my own reality. I'm such a failure. So I continued reading books, watching YouTube videos, everything I could get hold of. And eventually I stumbled across this thing called NLP and it kept coming up over and over again. So I was like, right, what is it? And the premise of it was that it's like the user manual for your mind. And I was like, right, I need one of those because clearly it needs tweaking. It's not working for me. So I did my NLP practitioner course along with some other modalities. So timeline therapy, hypnotherapy and coaching, purely for personal reasons. I had no interest in coaching or anything like that. I just wanted to get through my own mental and emotional barriers. And after that, things started changing bit by bit. So I started to get acting work. I would go into auditions feeling confident rather than comparing myself with people. And I just felt different. So life gradually started changing and I had a whole new outlook on the world. So I continued on that journey and went to do my next level of training, my master practitioner. And everything changed after that. It was my whole perception of the world and reality shifted. And I started to get lots more work. I paid off my debts. I left a 10-year relationship that was really terrible. There were just some really big shifts. Then it was probably about 12 months down the line, maybe a bit further, I remember getting an acting job and I had a big long script to learn. And I thought, oh, I have to learn some lines. And I was really put out by this. So hang on, Sean, isn't this like the dream? Every actor wants words. I thought, right, what's going on here? So when I looked at, you know, what is it that I want in my life, I realised the acting work, that was more of the childhood dream that I'd never fulfilled, and almost a convincer that I was worthy and I was good enough. And it wasn't what I wanted anymore. So I looked at what is it that fulfills me? What do I want to do? And realised actually the work that I love is the things that I've been learning. And it was what I talked about all the time. So I turned that into my career and went on to become a coach and then became a trainer of coaches. So today that's what I do. I train people to become accredited coaches in NLP, cognitive therapy, hypnotherapy and coaching. And then I work one-to-one with people as well to help them with the mental and the emotional obstacles that just keep them stuck so that they can begin to move forward with their life and start achieving the things that they want.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think there's just so many nuggets in what you talked about. And I love that. I think it's a big lesson for people to listen to. Like, it happens to all of us. I think we have the childhood dream, which I think is a path to the ultimate thing we're wanting to do, whether, like you said, it doesn't turn out to be exactly that, but like you kept pursuing that. And because that was your ultimate thing, you decided to pursue again later in life, you learned all those other things, which was actually what you're supposed to do. Whereas it's like, if you never tried to go pursue the acting thing and accomplish this dream you realized you'd let go of, you might not have done all of those other things to change, you know? And so I think that is just really cool for people to think about. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter how big or crazy the childhood thing is, like just follow the path and see what opens up next. I don't know why we think that we just shouldn't go down it at all. Like that's going to just off course us, but nothing is ever a waste. It's all so valuable and part of the ultimate thing. And you just gain more clarity as you just get moving. So I love that that's what you did. So I love that your specialty is mindset and all of this stuff. So can you tell, I want to go ahead and launch in and tell everyone about your book that's coming out February 1st, because even in what your book is about, there's so much we can talk about in this podcast from the book itself. So tell everyone about your book, what it's called and what it's about.
Yeah, so it's called Activate Your RAS, or your reticular activating system, to give it its fullest name. And it's the art and science of creating your reality from the inside out. The book is all about, so your reticular activating system is a bundle of nerves at the top of your spine that is almost like the gatekeeper to your brain. So all this information that's going on outside of us all day, every day, there's a lot of information. And our brain can't consciously handle all that information. So we delete it, we distort it, we generalize in it, and we only take in certain amounts of information. So the question is, what bits do we see and what bits do we leave out? Because everybody can have a very different experience of the same event. And it's because of their reticular activating system will notice things that other people's aren't. So the book is all about how do you train your RAS to notice the things and the opportunities that are going to get you to where you want to go. So how do you begin to change the filters in your brain so your perception of reality will shift and you can then notice the things that maybe in the past you weren't aware of? It all started with me with a car. I wanted a specific car. When I'd read the books, you can create your own reality. And then suddenly that car was everywhere. And it was like, right, what does that car mean? Does that mean I should go and buy it? Why am I seeing it everywhere? Did the garage have like a big sale and suddenly they're here? But it was nothing to do with that. It didn't matter whether it was a car or a holiday. The minute you make something important to you, you notice it all over the place. So that's amazing. And how do you use that to get your goals, to change your thinking and to change your life? So the book is filled with really lots of information about how your brain works, how you can shift your focus, how you can work within the universal laws to your benefit and start changing things. But it's also got lots of practical exercises, because one thing that I did early on was information overload. It's like just taking in so much stuff and not really applying any of it. So I wanted to make the book something that people can learn a bit from and then write, this bit of information is great. What do I do with it? How do I use it in my life to begin making positive changes? So, yeah, there's loads of stuff in there all about motivation, why it doesn't last, how to change it, failure, how to start changing beliefs. So it's a whole kind of a bit of a user manual for your mind, really, but in really simple, easy to understand terms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And so in people, as far as on this podcast, obviously they'll take a deep dive in getting your book, but what is the first step? So somebody's wanting to change their life. Maybe they're not even sure how they're wanting to, they're wanting all of those things. Where do they start? Where's a good place?
First place to start is to begin to become aware of your thoughts, because most of what we do is on autopilot. So our behaviors, our thoughts, the way that we feel, it's all unconscious to us, and most of it we're oblivious to. I think we have between 60,000 and 80,000 thoughts a day, and 95% of them just are on repeat day after day after day. So to change something, the first thing you have to do is be aware of what it is. So use your day as feedback. You know, how are you feeling? What, when you feel that way, what are the thoughts that you're thinking? So whether you stop periodically throughout the day to make a note of what's going on, or at the end of the day, look back and think, right, how was I feeling today? What happened for me? What did I like? What didn't I like? And what do I want to change? Because when you know what it is, then you can begin to do something about it. People will often say, like, oh, I don't know what I want. Knowing what you don't want is a great starting point, because you can just flip it on its head and think, right, if I don't want that, if I don't want to be living in scarcity financially, if I don't want to have ill health, then what's the flip side? I want to be healthy. I want to be financially abundant. So use the world that you're currently living in as feedback for what's going on for you internally. Then, as you've got that feedback, I think one of the biggest shifts that I certainly found for me was taking responsibility for my life, because there's the universal law of cause and effect. So for every effect, everything that happens in the world, there's something that caused it. Now, most people live their life at effect, which means that they have reasons or excuses as to why things are the way they are. They almost put responsibility outside of them and say, I'm affected by this thing that's happening. Whereas if you can adopt the mindset, I'm not saying that this is true, it's just almost like pretend it's true, because it will really help. Pretend that you're responsible, you're the cause for absolutely everything that happens in your life, which isn't popular, because that's like, you've got to take responsibility for the good, the bad and the ugly, not just, oh, the good bit, oh, yeah, I did that, but the bad bit, that's nothing to do with me. So take responsibility for everything and think, right, if I caused this, then it means that I can do something to change it. So all those things that you become aware of and you think, I don't like that, you know, I'm not happy in my job, I keep saying that I'm a failure, whatever things come up for you, take ownership and say, right, it's me that's decided to do this, which also means I can decide to change it. So I think making that decision and being responsible for your life is like the first stepping stone to beginning to make changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, love that. And sticking through the process, because like all of this can sound good and people will start, but then they just ultimately stop because they get busy or whatever. And so then it's like, well, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And if it doesn't consistently continue to change, then the change will stop once you stop as well. And so it's like you have to commit to doing those things. And it's a personality detox to like do that work, but it is possible to change it and to change your thought patterns. And I know that's one of the things that you talk about in your book is, programming the unconscious mind and changing beliefs. So what's maybe some of your best brief tips? Obviously, again, everybody needs to go get the book for all the deep dive, walk you through everything. But what's maybe a little bit you can give the audience today about reprogramming unconscious thoughts? Because you got to just start, you think, well, I'm only aware of my conscious thoughts. So how do I find the unconscious thoughts kind of thing? And then how do I change those belief systems?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, going back to the awareness, that's the first step, is begin to become aware of what it is that you're thinking. A big shift again, which is not a popular one, is to start noticing wherever you're saying the word can't. So if you're saying, I can't do something, can't is just the process of cannot do, therefore you can do it. And in saying you can't, you're putting responsibility outside of you. Like, to give you a really real life example, you know, I want to lose weight, but I can't go to the gym because I'm too busy. If you decide, right, there are people out there that are busier than I am, that have, you know, more going on, and they make time to go to the gym or exercise, whatever it might be. So you can do it if you decide to get up earlier, to fit it in, to make it a priority. So if it's just something that you don't want to do, just say I won't, and then it's a choice. So take can't from won't, because you can stop beating yourself up, first and foremost, and you become empowered because, it, you know, I'm not exercising, I won't do it because I want to do this instead. So it kind of starts to change that belief cycle of I can't do this, I'm not good enough, oh, I failed again. So that will begin to interrupt that pattern just by going from can't to won't. Then this is something that I struggled with. So when I was first starting out, I was in a position I didn't want to be in. And there were certain beliefs that I was holding, like I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I can't make money, I can't have what I want. And the belief that I wanted, which was I'm worthy, I am good enough, I make loads of money. And the jump, it was just too big to go from A to Z in one sentence. I would tell myself, I'm good enough, I'm worthy. And the voice in my head would say, yeah, right. So I almost created like a conscious, unconscious battle. I was consciously telling myself one thing, but my unconscious mind was saying, no, that's not true. And that can almost cause more harm at times because you're reinforcing the belief that you already have, which might be not good enough. I can't do this. So instead of trying to go from A to Z all in one go, there's an exercise in the book called Bridging the Gap. So it's taking a belief and breaking it down into stepping stones, because often people have had these beliefs like their whole life or, you know, for a long period of time. And it's had a lot of reinforcement. And when you believe something, your reticular activating looks for evidence to support it. So you get more evidence and then you believe it even more. So it's about breaking that cycle. And the easiest way to do that is think, right, here I am thinking, let's use I'm not good enough as the belief. So rather than going, I am totally good enough, I'm great, think, right, what's the next logical step along that I could get on board with? I may not believe it yet, but I could kind of accept that it might be true. Like, oh, some days I'm better than others. I'm okay. There are some things that I'm average at. And spend time each day, maybe set an alarm to remind yourself to do it every hour, to just check in and go, right, what am I thinking? And just remind myself, yep, okay, I'm average at some things. And how does it feel? So notice how you feel if you were to pretend that belief is true, until eventually that belief is true. And then move on to the next step along, which may be, actually, I'm quite good at quite a few things, or, you know, I am good enough in certain situations. And then do the same exercise. So every day checking in until eventually you go across all these stepping stones. And before you know it, the belief, I am good enough, I'm worthy, I can do this, becomes who you really are. Because you've taken it a little bit of a time, your unconscious mind gets on board with it. You can consciously accept, yeah, that would be believable, and bridge the gap bit by bit. And enjoy the process of it, because to go from, I don't believe I'll ever make any money, to I'm totally wealthy, it's quite a jump and can get frustrating. Yet if you can say, oh, actually, I could make a little bit of money, I've, you know, there's been times in the past, get excited about that. And get excited about that becoming the new belief, and then enjoy every moment of it and seeing the progression. A bit like if you were to, I don't know, lose weight going from one dress size, you know, if you were going from one dress size down to another, you wouldn't beat yourself up for being there. You'd think, great, I've got to go and buy a whole new wardrobe to fit into this size. Yes, I may continue down, but why not celebrate where I am right now with that progression? So that's,
yes,
a kind of affirm the belief that you can get on board with, that's just a little bit further on than where you are.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And in writing a book like this, was there something that you feel like you've got in your book that you felt was missing in other people who've written things like this? Or a different angle or whatever?
Yeah. So the frustrating thing that I found when I first started out was the how. It was like, I get that you can create your reality, but I don't understand how. So in the book, I've explained the mechanics of manifestation. There's a bit of quantum physics in there, which dives into the going from a potential reality to a physical manifestation and the process that's actually happening. For me, that was the I understood that, you know, meditating helps and visualizing and things like that, but I didn't get the connection between that and things actually coming into fruition in my life and how it works. The action, do I take action? Do I not? I was all a bit confused by it. So the book that I've written is laying out the process of the brain, why you see the world in the way that you do, how your mind is perceiving reality and how to change that, and how changing that actually impacts on the results that you get. This is why you end up with the physical stuff afterwards. So it's almost like the physical manifestation is just the result of all the changes that you make internally, the person that you become. So you end up with the stuff that you have, rather than trying to do it the other way around. Mm-hmm. I used to be focused so much on the having rather than the becoming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think since I read those early books, there's been an awful lot of books that have been written that do address that. Yeah, I've done it in a way that I would have wanted. It's the book that I wish that I had back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think that's so even a point in itself is a lot of people that are wanting to say, especially be an entrepreneur of some kind. They're like, well, what should I do? Well, what did you need 2 years ago? What could you have created 2 years ago that would have helped that version of you? Or even if we're just looking to create a better life for ourselves, I know a lot of people are so stuck or in such a downward place. Something I've heard a lot of people on this podcast and that I just know is like, you serve your way to success. You serve your way out of your circumstance. And that can be your initial starting point, is just to like start trying to help the version of you that was before, even days ago. And that alone gets the ball rolling. So for you, what are some of the ways that, you know, we talk about in your book, embracing failure? Is there a way that you help people frame that so it doesn't feel so scary, or that people can see it as part of their fuel? How do you help people with their perception around failure, or even being seen in their change of who they're becoming too? Because I think we also fear that other people around us aren't going to accept us now if we're not the same version of us. And what does that mean? And those blocks of fear can hold us back from even changing our reality to start with.
Yeah. I would encourage anybody who is struggling with fear and those beliefs, wherever possible, work with a professional that can help you to overcome it, a coach. And as a starting point, I love Sarah Blakely, you know, Spanx creator. She said that when she was younger, she used to sit at the table with her dad and her brother every day after school, and he would ask her, "What have you failed at today?" So she actively looked to go and fail every day. I like to take that method on myself and think, right, I'm putting myself out there. I'm looking to go and see how it doesn't work, what I need to change. So it's almost taking the pressure off of, I've got to go and do this perfectly. I've got to go and get this right. It's actually, I'm just going to go do it, because at the end of the day, I know that I'm going to have messed up something, because there's always improvement to be made. So let's go do that. So I think, if you can actively go and fail, see it as a pursuit, because to go and fail, you've got to go and do something that you haven't done before. So make it into fun, turn it into a bit of a game. Then also kind of break it down. So if there's something that you're putting off doing because the fear of failure or fear of what other people will think, is to get a notepad out and think, right, what is it I'm afraid of? Then ask yourself, what would happen if I did fail? And get it all out of your head, because often we're kind of playing through the worst case scenario and really catastrophizing it and dramatizing it in our own mind. So get it all out of paper and then ask, and if that happened, then what? Because often it's never the big thing that we think it is. Then go and do something, but fail small to begin with. So, you know, build up the failure muscle, go and do things that are just slightly uncomfortable, realize that you're safe at the end of it. And with every failure, so I don't believe there is failure. There's only ever feedback. It's just, it didn't work mm-hmm. this way. Ask yourself, right, what did I learn from this experience? And most importantly, what will I do differently next time? Because if you can take that knowledge on and that learning, then that experience was never wasted. It's only if we keep failing at the same things and don't learn from them, that's when it's easy to beat yourself up, because I just keep getting this wrong. So take a minute to look at everything that you've done, quote unquote, wrong, because there is no wrong or right. It's just, again, a perception of it. And take a learning, and then that experience was a benefit and it was worth doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, love that. And so one of the things, or I would, well, two questions. One, with the clients you work with, what are people's biggest mindset issues they're having? Is it their limiting belief system? Is it their, you know, what is the biggest issue that comes up when you're working with people? And how do you address that, depending on if we haven't already talked about it yet?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've worked with so many different clients over the years from different industries, different backgrounds, and there seems to be common themes throughout, and it's often to do with feeling good enough, feeling worthy, fear, and then the beliefs that are formed are just, you know, beliefs are usually formed off the back of negative emotions. So if you think I can't do this, I'll fail, I'll never make it, this won't work, it's often driven by fear. So if you are able to deal with the fear, then the belief automatically disappears anyway, because if you're not scared, then it's like, of course I can do this, why wouldn't it happen? So fear is one of the biggest hurdles that keeps people stuck, and then believing that they're good enough and worthy. There's often a lot of comparison going on, particularly since social media became such a big thing. It's looking at the highlight reel of other people's lives and assuming that's all it is, not taking into account that there's ups and downs within that. There's, you know, everybody has a different version of what success means to them. So yeah, none of it is really real, but people would take it on at the unconscious level as that's what I see other people doing and I'm not doing that, therefore I'm not good enough. So yeah, I think those are usually the common ones, feeling good enough doing something and the fear, which, you know, being good enough or not, that's just a belief. And as we know, beliefs can be changed.
That's cool. So since this is a podcast about abundance, and abundance really comes down to, you know, a mindset view, people who are wanting to attract more abundance into their life, especially if it's an abundance for opportunities, like, because a lot of people listening are new entrepreneurs, or they want to be, or they have a side hustle, they're looking to create some kind of change in their financial circumstance. I feel like that's a huge thing that keeps people from happiness, because something in this financial space is why they're not going and living the kind of life they want anyway, or is putting stress on their relationships, or is kind of like a catalyst for a lot of things often. How do you help people to become a super attractor for opportunity in whatever sense, but especially to their finances? You know, you said you had been there, you had these debts you needed to get through, and it was a huge leap from, you know, A to Z there. How can you walk people through a little bit of that?
Yeah, I think the key to abundance is recognizing that the financial success, or, you know, however the finances that we have in our life, are a direct reflection of our self-worth. We'll only ever create in our own life what we deem to be worthy of. So I would say become familiar with your finances, make friends with them, because it, you know, often if there's issues with money, it can be that there's a bad relationship, because, you know, money and you are in a relationship because you're working with each other. And if you hate money, if you resent it, then it probably isn't going to show up very much. Like, would you turn up to a relationship where the other person didn't like you? Probably not. So treat money as though it's a friendship and a relationship that you're growing and building and getting to know. Sweeping it under the carpet and pretending that there isn't a problem there, it doesn't go away. If anything, it's a bit like, you know, if there's an issue, you get a whisper to begin with, a little tap on the shoulder. If you don't listen, it gets louder and louder and louder until it's like, hey, this is a real problem now. So become familiar with your finances. Where are you? How do you feel about it? And then begin to work on your self-worth, which may sound a bit off topic. Yet if you can master who you believe you are and the belief that you have in yourself, and work on the relationship of getting to know money, making friends with it, and becoming aware of your language around it, because language is so powerful, and your focus, which I'll elaborate on in a moment, then that will help you to begin to create that better relationship. So language and focus when it comes to anything in life, but particularly money. Your unconscious mind doesn't process negatives. So if you're telling yourself not to do something, you have to think about it. And that's a suggestion to your unconscious mind. So if I said to you, don't think of a pink elephant, you have to think of one to not think of one. So every time you're telling yourself what you don't want to do, or like, I don't want to have any debt. All you're doing is suggesting to your conscious mind, debt, debt, debt. That's the message that it takes in. And your reticular activating system will go, oh, how can I find more debt? Oh, here's some place I can spend some money. So you'll start noticing all the opportunities and the ways that you can get more debt. So when you notice yourself saying, right, I don't want this, right, what's the opposite? What do I want? I want to create abundance, I want wealth. And yeah, how much wealth? What is it? Kind of give yourself an idea of what it looks like and what life looks like when you've got the wealth that you're, the abundance that you're after. And then what was the other thing I said? Was it focus?
Yes.
Then focus on what you want. The movies that you play out in your head, in your mind, are, again, it's a suggestion, and it activates your reticular activating system to see what you want. So focus on things turning out how you want them to. And you can do that through the questions that you ask yourself, like, you know, how can I do X? Where could I find Y? So rather than telling yourself, I can't do this, this isn't possible, that will never happen, it's like, right, I may not be able to do it yet, but if I could, how would I do that? Who could I ask? And again, your brain, your mind will start looking for the answers. So those opportunities that you may have completely closed down before, you will have deleted them out of your experience, will suddenly make themselves known to you. So the answers will start coming into your awareness, and bit by bit making shifts. And I think that's the thing as well, you know, miracles can happen very quickly, and be in it for the long haul. You know, this is a journey, and it's not about, all right, one day I'm here and then the next day I'm completely over there. It's, I'm just going to do it day by day, and there will be those moments where you seem to catapult from one place to another, yet they're usually off the back of the work that you've been doing prior to it. So it's like that compound effect, isn't it, that you end up getting big results, but you've done the legwork, you've built the foundations first. So make friends with money.
Yeah, that was such a huge, I love that. I think that's going to make a big difference for people, is that's just a huge, I love the mindset shifts, the examples, the different way to think about it for some people. Because, you know, I had someone on the podcast a few weeks back, and she phrased something similar, but in regards to gratitude, like, the universe, why would you want to give to someone that's not grateful for what they've got, even if it's small? Like, you want to shower someone with gifts who's just like so appreciative. You just want to spoil them or give them more because you know they love it. Whereas if someone's like, I already got one of those, you're gonna be like, okay, bye. You don't need anything. You know, so it's just all interesting of thinking about the things in your life as all different relationships, even like they're people. I thought that was great. I've never heard somebody phrase it that way. And I think that's a huge way for people to think about that. And then I love too, just how you explained, it just kind of tied it back in with the car you kept seeing over and over. When you're shifting the focus or the lens that you're viewing, not looking at the debt, but looking at how can I create more money as opposed to focusing on the debt, then you start seeing more of the quote cars out there, which are the opportunities to go make more money. And I think that's so cool how you said, and then you just, those are all the little stepping stones. Each car you're noticing, each new opportunity, your brain is finally open to your solutions as opposed to just focusing on the problem. So that's such a cool way that you explained that. And I think that will really help people in any obstacle they're overcoming, is just those little perception shifts can be everything, even obstacles itself. I think you and I talked about this when I was on your podcast, just instead of thinking of things in your way as stumbling blocks, viewing them as stepping stones completely will determine the outcome that you get by just that little perspective shift. So I think it's so cool. I can't wait to get your book and to read all of those things. I wish I had already, because when I go to Belize, we're talking about, or I'm not, but other, it's a topic, that whole thing. Self-worth is something I wanted to ask you about. It, that's what triggered for me when you're talking, because I think some people don't realize they have an issue with self-worth. Would you say most people don't know that they do sometimes when they come to you, especially they have a problem elsewhere, like money or whatever, and they don't realize it's because of what they actually think of themselves?
Yeah, I think there's two different types of people that I've come across mainly. There's those that know they have an issue but pretend that they don't, and those that are oblivious to the fact that they have a lack of self-worth. Yet I think, you know, all areas of life, we take ourselves with us. We're humans, we have patterns of behavior, and what's going on in one area is usually going on in another. And if you look at your life, you'll often see that there's themes. So it may be that you know, maybe there's an issue with finances, but there's also an issue where in your relationship, you feel grateful for the person that you're with, not in the I appreciate them way, but like, I'm so lucky that they would even look at me. And then in your friendships, you let everybody decide what you're doing when you have when you carry out activities, and you're never the one that wants to rock the boat. You're happy to just go along so you people please. Or, you know, at the gym, you let everybody else use the machines first. And it may just be subtle things that mean nothing out of context, yet when you look at the theme of all of them, you could pretty it up and put it in a bow and say, oh, I'm just polite and considerate. But what's beneath that? Because you can be polite and considerate, and you can also value yourself at the same time. So where are you not showing up for you? And again, you know, maybe journal it down and ask, where am I not valuing myself? Where am I letting other people walk over me, not enforcing my boundaries, and thinking, I suppose, less of myself than I really am? Yeah, and it's, you know, it's probably not easy the first time that you do it. I don't think it's ever easy the second and third time, because I think, you know, as we evolve as people, new day, new problem, different level. Yeah, we're always evolving, and you may get to a new level and think, oh, hang on, now I don't feel worthy. I did when I was down there, and mm-hmm. now I'm doing this whole new mm-hmm. can of worms has opened. So again, seeing it as a journey, that it's not I'm broken and I'll fix myself, because no one's ever broken. It's just a case of, what do I need to deal with right now so that I know that I am good enough and I can do this and I'm worthy of everything that I want.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So I forget the acronym that you had said for your, what you got trained in. Was it L? What was it?
NLP. So it's neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay.
Sounds very fancy. It's basically the programs that we run in our mind. So it's how we do what we do, how we perceive the world outside of us, the language of the mind, and how we can use it and change it to alter our focus and change the outcomes and the behaviors and everything that we ultimately achieve.
Mm-hmm. What was one of the most like breakthrough things you learned when you went through your education for that you hadn't realized until that point, even from all the reading you'd done before that? What was something that kind of blew your mind? Or just made a big difference?
Yeah, I think so. One of the analogies that I use in the book is I didn't appreciate fully the power of the unconscious mind. But yeah, I get it. We've got an unconscious mind. And the way that I explain it is, if you imagine that your unconscious mind is like a submarine under the water, and it's programmed, it's got its destination, and that's where it's going. And that is 95% of what's going on. Your conscious mind is almost like a rowing boat on the top of the water, and it's 5% of the power of the mind. Now, people will spend so much time focusing on that 5%. It's what you call willpower, when you actively decide, right, this is the direction that I'm going. So they get their metaphorical oars and they start working really, really hard towards it. What they don't realize is that the rowing boat and the submarine are tied together, and they're trying to pull in opposition to the submarine. So you imagine sitting in a rowing boat and doing all that work and pulling against the submarine that's going the opposite way. It's hard work, and that's why people give up, because you're fighting against your internal programming. So when I understood that 95% of what we do is based on what's going on internally for us, that was a moment that clicked, where I thought, that's worth working on, because it's going to impact on everything. I can take, you know, I was always a bit, you just take action and you just got to do stuff. And yes, I completely am on board with that. I've stopped the, I'm going to sit on my chair and meditate and hope that the world comes to me. Yeah, I also appreciate that you can take all that action, but if you're not in alignment, if you're not congruent, then it makes it much harder, if it ever happens at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think people forget, like, our brain is a computer, basically, and computers can be programmed and reprogrammed. Is there anything that you think in the subconscious that can't be reprogrammed, or is everything possible to change?
I think everything's possible. I'm a big believer in the mind-body connection. So I think there's a, you know, huge connection when it comes to health. So I think physical things can be changed. But yeah, definitely the mental, the emotional, the behaviours, the habits, everything that we do. My belief, and it's only my belief, is that, yeah, absolutely everything can be changed.
Mm-hmm. So then for someone who's maybe super new to personal development in general. So they, and you know, attraction, law of attraction, all of those kinds of things, unconscious mind, all that is just so like, they don't even know how to make that tangible for me, but they're really like literal mind. Where do they start in getting in a practice to be working on this reprogramming through like people who maybe haven't meditated before? What's the type of way that you recommend to do a meditation or to do a visualization, or what kind of little ingredients should they put together in a starting quote package they could start doing to work through all of this?
Yeah, I think a great place to start is to focus on what you want, which sounds really, really simple. Yet going back to what I said earlier, it's easy to think about what you don't want. You know, I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to eat chocolate. And then that message, your unconscious mind doesn't process the negative. So all it hears is debt, chocolate, and that's where your focus goes. So start to think, right, what is it that I want? And then actively set an alarm every hour to remind yourself, oh, I've got to picture that thing turning out how I want it to. Anxiety is imagining, it's like a warning to your unconscious mind to tell you to focus on what you want. Because when you feel anxious, you're picturing things turning out how you don't want them to. Because if you think about it, if you imagine life turning out exactly how you want it, everything's gone well, then there's nothing to feel anxious about. Anxiety is fear of the future. And it's all a suggestion to your unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind doesn't know what's real and what's not. So start by just picturing things and have fun with it. You know, picturing things turning out how you want them to. And set, I think one of the most powerful things to do is set an intention for everything that you do. So again, in the book, I talk about intention. And to give you an example, imagine you're going onto a boat and there's 50 cabins on the boat. 25 of them have been done up. They're like high end, luxurious, top of the range, all the gadgets and gizmos, and the other 25 are run down. They need a bit of TLC. Your job is to go and choose which cabin you're going to go into, and that's where you're going to spend your time. Now, if you intend, so your intention can be, right, I'm going to intend to find a luxurious cabin. So you intend to experience luxury. That's your desire. You want to feel that luxury. You want to experience it. You want to live it. That may or may not influence which cabin you go into. Let's say, for example, that it doesn't, just for argument's sake, but you will go into whichever cabin you choose. The experience that you have of that cabin is the one that you intended to have. So if you intend, I'm going to have luxury, you may well open the door and find the rundown cabin, but your reticular activating system is going to be looking for the luxury. So it's like, okay, I can have a bit of solitude. I can just sit here in quiet time, and it will find the ways that you can use that run down room to experience luxury, because it's the experience that you want, and that's an internal thing, not an external. So no matter what's happening outside of you, rather than being at the effect of it, look at, right, I'm the creator of my results, so how can I create what I want in this scenario, and how can I change it if it's not working? So set your intention for everything that you do, and then imagine it going how you want. Think of it like a movie, you know, play out your favorite movie. You know, most people run disaster movies in their mind, and yeah, all the conversations that they didn't want, you know, I used to do it. I'd sit there and play through a conversation that hadn't happened, and it was going really, really badly. It was an argument. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I doing? This is crazy. Mm-hmm. So just have fun with, you know, seeing your life exactly how you want it. Go on Pinterest, put it on your laptop, just so it's a reminder of what to focus on.
Mm-hmm. And so for vision boards and things, because I haven't done a vision board mostly because I've just been lazy. I like to pick my word for the year or whatever, but I visualize in my head, and I do like the visualization type things. But vision boards, all the successful people we hear about, everybody like is all about the vision boards. Why do vision boards work?
See, I don't do a vision board.
Yeah.
And purely because I used to, and nothing, it was almost, here's a load of things on a board that I don't believe are possible, yet I'm dreaming of. At that time, it almost highlighted my limitations for me. So I didn't find it inspiring. I found it a bad reminder for me. I would say with anything, vision boards included, think about your purpose for doing it. So what is the reason for you doing it? Some people may find that they're visual. So they like having their goals in front of them as a reminder to their unconscious mind and to their conscious mind, this is why I'm working on this goal, this is what I'm doing. Other people, it may not work so much. If they're not the visual, then, you know, if there's no purpose for having it there, then I'd say don't bother. I think it's doing what works for you. It can be that it is that, you know, that motivator of, as you're sat at your laptop and you're maybe not having a great day and work feels hard and you see it and think, right, this is what I'm doing it for. I would say if you're going to do one, make one that feels good to you, that is in alignment with your goals, because there's so many vision boards out there that are just, you know, there's a yacht and a big house. And in my world, there's just absolutely no way that everybody can have the same goals. You know, not everybody has exactly the same dream, yet often they're kind of a cut and paste job of the ideal life that people have. So if you do one, make it meaningful to you. And I'd say put the milestones in there, things that, you know, the big stuff that you're driving towards, but maybe even put the shorter term goals. Mm-hmm. So as you achieve them, you can maybe pull it off. And that's a, oh, yeah, now what goes next? What's the next milestone? So then it becomes almost like a goal checklist, mm-hmm. rather than it just being a big dream for one day. And that, yeah, that's just my take on it. And I appreciate everybody has a different model of the world, a different version of reality and different ways of motivating themselves. And if you do it, again, enjoy it. It's got to be fun. Otherwise, what's right. the point of it all?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a good point. Because like I said, like, I've never done, I just kind of always have done it in my head. But I think that's because that's kind of how I am. So I think you're right. It's just like people who do that, that's kind of their learning mechanism. And maybe it helps them have an external out of their head. When they're working on something, they're getting pressure, they can glance over and see that and be like, oh yeah, that's why I'm doing this hard thing now. Whereas you can also take a moment, take some deep breaths and go into your mind and get back in that kind of dream state vision, why you're doing this, what you want. But I liked your idea just to throw in there for people, whether they're doing it mentally or in a visual, like a physical craft way of throwing the small things in there. Cause I think, like you said, it's just, we get so focused on the macro goal that we forget the mini wins, that we don't celebrate enough. And all of those feelings, like you said, our brain is chasing the experience, not necessarily the actual thing. And so getting that experience today, as opposed to thinking you have to wait to have it until you finally have that one thing, you're going to move a lot faster. So,
yeah, I did hear on another podcast the other day, which I quite liked. It was to do with vision boards. And this lady said to use a vision board to create a collage of the person that you'll be when you have all the things that you want in your life. So put the vision board of what are you wearing? Where are you dining? So it's more about the person that you're becoming than the physical mm-hmm. stuff that you're left with. And oh, I've not heard it like that before. And that mm-hmm. I could get on board with that. You know, the wardrobe you're wearing, the places that you may be talking if you're a speaker, or the, you know, whatever it is you're doing. And I thought, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's cool too. I love it. So what is maybe one of your favorite or most, because you had this podcast for a while, what's maybe one of the most impactful things somebody has said that stuck with you from your podcast so far?
See, I've only had a few guests on, although I had a couple of guys on there only recently. In fact, I think the episode launches next Monday, so it isn't even out yet. And they are the most fun people. It's Phil Januszewski and Matt Makovich from M&P Presentations. And they are all about cultivating confidence. And the thing that really stuck with me is that they were like, right, it's okay to be happy. Because I think sometimes there can be this kind of, oh, you've got to grind. It's got to be hard. It's got to be a certain way for you to succeed. You know, it's like the, you know, I have to have survived this to come out the other end. And yes, whilst all that's true, there is going to be hard work. It's like, it's also okay to have fun and just enjoy it. And I thought, it's really obvious. Yet sometimes not so obvious. When you are working hard, it can be easy to forget to have the fun with it. So I loved that. And also their way of turning the mundane into magic. So how can you take seemingly ordinary situations and turn them into something that's magic, like, you know, and build up your mental muscle of confidence in their world or whatever else it might be for somebody else. So rather than, you know, attempting to go from point A to point Z, it was like, right, how can I build confidence today? I could go and chat with somebody in the coffee queue. I've never done that before. And that might be well outside somebody's comfort zone. Yet it's starting again in a different way to bridge that gap of this is a small action. And I did that and I didn't die. I survived. Mm-hmm. So now what's the next thing? And just that recognition of, yeah, I can do this. Now I'm going to go chat to somebody about a job that maybe I wouldn't have done before. So I loved that, making it fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so serious at times. And it's like, how can I make this fun? And that's what they reminded me of, is like, yeah, put your favorite music on, turn it into a dance and go and enjoy it.
Yes. Yay. I love that. Well, so tell everybody, not only where to find you, follow you, but where they can find what you have to offer. And you can tell them also about your podcast, what it's called, and, you know, where they can find that as well.
Okay. So the podcast is Vibrant Mind, Vibrant Life, and you can get that on all podcast platforms. And then on Instagram, I am Sian Hill is my handle, but keep it easy. Remember my name. And website is the same. And then my book will be available to purchase from the 1st of February.
Yay, I can't wait.
Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. Yay, I can't wait. That's so awesome. And so I'll make sure I have all of that in the show notes so people can just click it really easy. And of course, I'll be tagging my stories. The last question I love to ask everyone is, what does living an abundant life mean to you? And if someone were to ask you how they could start to build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
Living an abundant life for me is living a life that's true to me and true to my values. So something that's really high up in my values at the moment is my word of the year, and the thing that I'm living in alignment with is peace. And abundance to me means everything that I do is in alignment with that. It doesn't matter what other people are doing, what other expectations are. It's just being true to who I am and what my goals are and what I want out of life, and then living everything towards that. So I would say to anybody, get to know what abundance means to you. What is an abundant life? And ask yourself as though you had no limitations and nobody is looking, nobody else knows, imagine that nobody else in the world exists, what would true abundance mean to you? Because I think it's easy to live the abundant life that we think we should do or that is acceptable to others. So it's being true to your core values and what you want to achieve, because you only get one life and it's yours to live. So live it in a way that fulfills you and lights you up and makes you want to get out of bed every day.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.